Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of different stuff. Some high school football playoff scenarios for classes 4A District 1, 4A District 2, because those two teams will play each other next week in the first round of the playoffs. And then also A1 and A2. Pretty cut and dried there in A2. Not a lot of difference going on. There, 4A2 could be a little bit convoluted depending on the results tomorrow night. So we'll hit that. More college football playoff rankings talk. Who actually controls their own destiny? We can use the template that was put out there from the playoff committee. Do you believe where they've got certain teams ranked or not? Is it all for show? So who actually controls their own destiny and put them in order? Of who has the most control. If you say you think seven teams actually control their own destiny, how do they rank in order of most control to least? Or if it's 10, or if it's 4, you know, whatever. Who actually controls it and who controls it the most? Oklahoma State versus the NCAA. My goodness, we've got some sound from Mike Boynton, and he did exactly what we were hoping he was going to do and figuring he wouldn't. I mean, went after the NCAA for what has happened to Oklahoma State. Laid it out. If you don't know, he's going to tell you here in just a second of exactly what has happened. And then you start comparing what OSU got in trouble for and the penalty that they got because of what they did. You start comparing that to what has happened at LSU, what has happened at Arizona, and what has happened at Kansas. Are they just gonna end their programs? Obviously not. But it's an amazing what Mike Boynton did yesterday. He did something that I've never seen anybody do in these situations. He named names on that committee. God, it was awesome. I can't wait to play it. We'll hear it here in just a little bit. Also, Aaron Rodgers. He caused a little bit of a stir as we were getting off the airwaves yesterday. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting uproar. And also, as the Browns turn, soap opera in Cleveland with OBJ, it's looking more and more like that thing is imploding as we speak. So lots of different topics today. Feel free to chime in. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to live stream us through KADSAM.com. Just go to that website, hit the Listen Live tab, play button pops up, boom. You're live streaming us from anywhere across the globe if you're out of the listening area. Also, you can download the Paragon Communications app. That app has all things Paragon. Three radio stations with KECO, Cool 94, KADS. Penny News is in the app. Brand new edition. Hit the Penny News website at thepennynews.com yesterday at midnight. Now you can go pick up a free copy of the print edition of the Penny News everywhere as we speak. Go check that out. Also, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. We have got loads of action on both tomorrow. Big Elk's season finale, regular season finale anyhow, right here at Big Elk Stadium against Newcastle. Winners third, losers fourth. We'll explain that later. You got Merritt and Burns Flat Dill City in football on Paragon TV. Huge game there. Playoff implications dripping all over that one. And then high school basketball started Tuesday. It gets going in earnest tomorrow with the small schools all across the network on ParagonTV.com. We've got to tell you exactly what that schedule is for tomorrow night's games. And then, of course, Skinny on Sports Podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can find us on KADSAM.com or find us on iTunes. If you do the iTunes route, you might as well subscribe to the podcast, and then you're alerted when a new one drops each and every day. Hello, Jared. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Man, I am so I was so excited and so almost not proud isn't probably the right word. Satisfied with what with the way OSU has handled this news of their appeal being dropped. I mean, Mike Boynton literally said what we said yesterday. Like, if you were going to be a scorned lover, quote unquote,
right,
this is what you do. And oh my gosh, he did it.
Yeah.
It was surprising.
With his AD next to him, and I'm sure his AD said, you can say whatever you want.
Yeah. And that's,
you've got my support. And that's kind of what he said when he had an opening statement. So we support this guy. We support coach, da da da. And then he just unloaded. It was awesome.
Yeah. And before I play the sound, and we're going to hear from Mike Boynton here in just a second. But before I play the sound, we kind of talked about different things yesterday as far as, you know, the NCAA and how, you know, this feels with everything that has happened to them and the lack of power that they that they're able to wield now versus even when this thing started all the way back, you know, the 2016 season started in 2017 when the news broke of this allegation and this, you know, investigation of Oklahoma State and then all the other things ancillary to it with different schools. But it is a is this the last ditch effort of a dying organization to try to show that they have some sort of power?
That's a good question. If this is the last ditch effort, would that tell you that they know that they can't? I don't know. Like, we got to show our iron fist before it's taken away from us, so they know that they can't do this to Kansas, or, you know, like we alluded to earlier. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, if they really thought it was a last ditch effort, and I get maybe you don't, you know, cook the golden goose, which would be a KU, you know, North Carolina.
That's clearly what's happening here, right?
Yeah, but it's not but OSU isn't the golden goose.
No, I know that, but that's why they're not going after Kansas.
Sure,
or Arizona.
Seems like it. North Carolina literally had fake classes.
Yeah.
In their academic scandal, nothing. Looking back, I heard the guys talking about this driving home yesterday. What has come about outside of Oklahoma State? What else has come about from this investigation, which, would, by the way, was an FBI investigation to start? And that's the crazy thing about it, is that this has been uncovered not by an NCAA investigation. They just luck trucked into this thing because the FBI was wiretapping a bunch of these people involved in a much broader sting.
Right.
And the only thing that they could find, and I kind of looked last night too, South Carolina, which is where Lamon Evans came from, to Oklahoma State. He was on that staff with Frank Martin, ended up at OSU under Brad Underwood. They had penalties, put on probation, but no losses of postseason, nothing like this.
Yeah.
So far, throughout this entire thing, Oklahoma State has been the one that has got the hammer dropped on their head. Meanwhile, on FBI wiretaps, LSU head coach Will Wade, Sean Miller from Arizona, are on wiretaps trying to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to get players to their school. And we all know Kansas is that they've done something to the same effect. And yet, OSU, for $300, that's it.
That's it.
A one-time $300 payment has now gotten postseason ban, loss of scholarships, you know, visits, all that kind of stuff that goes along with an NCAA probation, over $300. And so it's no wonder that Mike Boynton felt like this.
That their dreams of playing the NCAA tournament this year couldn't be realized, and that's shameful. And there's no wonder that nobody trusts them, because they get to hide behind letters, COI, and IF, and they don't have to come and do this and answer questions and talk to kids and talk to parents And so the message is clear, because we had a $300 violation. No failure to monitor. No lack of institutional control. No recruiting violations. No head coach responsibility. No players playing ineligible. So if you got some of those things going on, don't do what we did. What we did was we asked them that we work with them through this process. On January 20th of 2020, I flew to Atlanta to do the first round of this process with the NCAA. The next day we played OU here. It was important that I be there. I went to Atlanta for no reason to cooperate with them, to cooperate with John Duncan and Sharika Montgomery and Russell Register. And then this year, on February 7th, while in Lawrence, Kansas, for a game, the day we played, we had an appeal hearing. And we cooperated. And we showed up. And we'd answer their questions. And we provided all the information they asked. So if you're one of those other schools, be careful what they ask you for.
I mean, that is just incredibly powerful. You know, if you listening to it, you could probably sense his emotion. I mean, he was literally crying when talking about how his guys, you know, that dream of playing in the tournament is gone. And in everything that I was could read about it yesterday, this is the first time anybody has been able to dig up postseason bans for a school that wasn't charged with one of the five main violations or pillars of NCAA enforcement. And he mentioned all five of them right there. There's no failure to monitor. There's no lack of institutional control. There aren't recruiting violations. There isn't head coach responsibility. And they did not play any ineligible players in any games at Oklahoma State. And, oh, by the way, they immediately fired the assistant coach upon learning of this without even really investigating. Immediately fired him, the one that kind of orchestrated a $300 violation. And then, of course, Brad Underwood tucked tail and ran to Illinois. That's why Mike Boynton's the head coach here at Oklahoma State. It is just unbelievable. It's one thing to say, okay, here's, you know, you can't go off campus for X amount of visits. You know, you see those things tossed around. What's unbelievable is the scholarship reductions and postseason ban over $300 when there are people on tape offering hundreds of thousands and nothing's happened. Hell, one of them's still coaching.
Right. And that's why he's, you know, obviously he's crying for his players who can't move on or can't go to the postseason. I mean, that's a heartbreaker. I mean, that's the goal. If you're a D1 athlete, you want to play postseason, chance for a championship. But I think most of those tears are coming out of frustration.
Sure. Just,
I mean, so we did everything they asked of us. We were so transparent. This guy wasn't even the coach. He wasn't even thought of when all this was going down, and he's still traveling, like you said, traveling on game day to Atlanta to cooperate, and he gets slapped in the face.
He had never coached a game at Oklahoma State prior to when this happened. He had never coached a game there, and obviously there's not a player there that had played a game. And, you know, we talked about this yesterday, and you were kind of harping on the unfairness of this happening now to the kids and the coach that had nothing to do with it then.
Yeah.
And that's that. Unfortunately, that's the
kids
nature.
Kids were barely out of junior high when this was
I know Rondo Walker posted a pic of him being in, like, the eighth grade or something like that. And so, but that's the inherent problems with the system right now in the NCAA. You know, the time is just, this was 2017. And it's happening now. And it seems more unfair the further away we get from these things actually happening, because so much more has come out from the other spots, the other schools, and what they did versus what Oklahoma State did. I mean, I kind of jokingly sent Jim a text yesterday. So if the standard is for every $300 it gets you a year of postseason ban. LSU, Arizona, Kansas, we'll see you next millennium in the NCAA tournament. Because if that's the standard, you're not going for a while. Now, we all know that's not what's going to happen.
Right.
But that's the precedent that's been set by this ridiculous ruling.
And the NCAA, there's ridiculous. No one overseeing them. They're above, they are the tippy top of this governing body. And it's wish-washy, best way to describe it. You would think like there would be laws like you said, if a player accepts X amount of dollars, this is the punishment. If a school does this, this is the punishment. It's never been like that.
No.
Ever. It's just been by opinion. Like, okay, well, let's see here. They're OSU. They only bring in this much revenue. They only bring in this many eyeballs to a TV set when it comes NCAA tournament time. No big deal. Let's just cut them loose for this one postseason and cut them some scholarships. We'll show them and we'll show the rest of the NCAA, the other schools, don't do this or this will happen. It's like they're trying to use them as an example when, it's not fair.
No, it's not even close.
It's absolutely not fair.
It's just an
absolute joke.
Someone
needs to oversee the NCAA. And Jim, speaking of Jim, he said it best yesterday, there needs to be an uprising. Schools need to go, no, like what he's saying, and we said it before he said it, don't even open the door for him. Say, I don't think so. I saw what you guys did, though, SU. We're not going to help you out at all. We'll just prolong this process.
Why
help them if they're not going to help you?
That's exactly right. And you can't be punished if
they can't prove it.
If they can't prove anything, and if you just stonewall them, then what are they going to do? They don't have subpoena power. I mean, they can't really do anything at the end of the day. And so what you're looking at is just the schools that have cooperated. Look at Missouri. Missouri did the same thing, cooperated, bam, hammer, because they gave them the evidence. It's so backwards, because what you're trying to do is cooperate to lessen the penalty.
Yeah.
What you're doing is cooperating and strengthening the penalty, and then everybody that's just flipping them the double bird and locking them out never gets anything happen to them because they don't ever get any evidence from them.
Isn't that what we were taught as a young age, is just fess up. Don't lie. If you did something wrong, confess to it, own it. You know what I mean? Because if you lie, you get in deeper trouble.
The cover-up's always bigger than the crime.
Yes, exactly.
That's what we're always taught. The cover-up is bigger than the crime, but it hasn't been in this case. On our Facebook page, what happened to OSU men's basketball team should be the last straw of the NCAA, and it should be disbanded. Listen, I don't think we're that far away from that. Tram mentioned coming up at the convention here in a month or so. It's widely believed that the conferences are going to take this power away from the NCAA. So at that point, my question is this. Okay, I guess maybe that for the NCAA tournament, it's going to be hard for Oklahoma State to tell them to go jump in a creek and just go play, because that's an NCAA-sponsored thing. And the reason this happened is money, because the revenue the NCAA generates as an organization, like 98% of it comes from this tournament. And the ad revenue and all the fees and every – or not the ads, but the fees – that they're able to charge, CBS and all those other partners that they have to broadcast the game and broadcast the tournament.
Right.
And so that's where, OSU can't really just tell them to go jump in a creek and play, because they're not going to be allowed to be put in there because it's an NCAA thing. Now, I would be shocked if they're not in the Big 12 tournament, because the bylaws of the Big 12 say right now that they're not going to get to play. I will be shocked if OSU doesn't petition the Big 12 and the Big 12 says okay.
Right.
But that's one way, I guess, of the conferences thumbing their nose at the NCAA. But the problem is,
Bowlesby want to do that.
Why?
That's what I'm saying.
Why not? Because here's the thing, that from now on, if what Tram says is true, from now on, the conferences don't care what the NCAA thinks, because they're the ones that are going to be policing themselves. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like you got to ask for permission from them to do it, except for in the tournament. And then you got to start wondering, if it does go this way with the conference, is how long is the NCAA itself in control of that tournament before the conference has wrestled that away too? And basically, well, just disband that organization.
Yeah, there was, before all this happened, it barely made headlines. But who said it? West Virginia coach, I think.
Bob Huggins.
I think he said, why don't the conferences just have their own tournament at the end of the year? And that's kind of what you're alluding to.
It's what happens in football.
Yeah.
That's the one thing, the only thing the NCAA does is try to administer justice for football. And they really have kind of quit that. You know, USC will be the last team we see take the hammer like they did as a football program.
Yeah.
And the one thing that makes this all so fishy is the fact that because of that basketball the tournament, and because of the revenue it generates, they're able to pick and choose who they want to go after. And the Kansases and the North Carolinas aren't it, because that diminishes their one revenue generating product.
Right.
With them not in the field. That's the truth. It's not right. It's unfair for Oklahoma State, and what happened to them is an absolute abomination. But now, because the NCAA is the judge, jury, and executioner of this process, Oklahoma State's out of options. And the best case scenario they have is winning a Big 12 title and thumbing their nose at the NCAA after that.
Are they out of options legally?
I think so. Chad Weiberg said as much. You know, they're early after that announcement came, before the press conference. There was some, hey, sue him. Chad Weiberg basically said, you know, they're looking into it, but to his knowledge, at least right now, the legal options are done, and here we are. And that's why I think that's why you saw the vitriol coming out of Stillwater yesterday for the process, for that committee, and kudos once again to Mike Boynton and Weiberg. And quite frankly, Dr. Shrum had to be involved in the decision to go scorched earth. Kudos to all those people that were involved for saying what everybody's thinking.
Absolutely.
And hopefully,
yeah.
Hopefully others will come to that defense throughout the country.
I think we'll see more of that.
You know,
wait.
What they did to Oklahoma State is a travesty. You know, that needs to be said from a Calipari, from a Bill Self, from those power players in college basketball.
Yeah.
And hopefully that'll happen. Hit some NFL stuff right just real quick before we get into the college football. Yesterday, right as we were getting off the air, Aaron Rodgers' news broke that he had tested positive for the virus, and now he was going to miss for sure this week and then maybe next week, depending on, you know, the days and how they work out, because – back in August, he was asked if he was vaccinated, and he used the term immunized.
Immunized?
Yes. Well, what that meant was he...
To go to Webster's on that one. Immunized.
He was what he was doing was he was some holistic approach, from holistic medicinal approach to keeping him from getting the virus. And in the meantime, was trying to get that approach or those drugs, whatever he, you know, what that process approved by the NFL as the same as the vaccine, basically.
I see.
It never happened. He's been able to traverse the NFL ecosystem as a vaccinated person until now. And it comes out that he has tested positive for the virus and also is not vaccinated. So there's a giant uproar over, first off, the fact that he's not vaccinated, which we all expect. You know, nobody, this wasn't a topic on anybody's show last week when Devontae Adams didn't get to play because he tested positive for the virus, and Alan Lazard didn't get to play. No worries. They're vaccinated. Even though they got it, they're vaccinated, so we don't have to talk about them. But now that Aaron Rodgers has, it's a huge topic of conversation, obviously, on every show just like this. And so Rodgers misses the game against the Chiefs this week. We miss out on another Pat Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers contest. They've never played. Isn't that shocking? They have never got to play each other in the NFL.
Ah, darn.
So we don't get to see that. And then we'll see about Rodgers next week.
We'll see Rodgers' replacement.
Jordan Love. Here we go.
That's right. The Jordan Love era begins.
Is this a Wally Pipp situation? Do you know who Wally Pipp was?
Help me out.
He's the guy that Lou Gehrig replaced, and he never got his job back.
More recent, is this a Dak Prescott situation?
Oh, I think Dak's going to be the quarterback when he's ready.
My point, when he took over for Romo.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. No, I don't think so, but I wonder what's going to happen to the Packers.
It's a bigger story here that I think I'm seeing more and more suggestion that Rodgers lied.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the bigger deal here, is that he lied to us?
No.
Okay.
Not to me. It is, but it's a reason why it's a story. Yes. Not in my opinion, no, but 100% yes. That's why everybody's up in arms. Because he said he had the vaccine and didn't.
Right.
People that write these stories, a vast majority of them, are mad at him. Because he lied to him and didn't get the vaccine. Like they assume everybody should. That's why it's a big story.
Well, it's just the black and white issue of being lied to and not lied to. The truth versus not the truth.
But it hurts their feelings even worse what he lied about.
Well, my point is it's a lie. That, you know, it's a character thing for me. He lied to you.
They lie to you all the time.
Yeah, he got caught in a lie.
Okay, but what else? I mean, I guess my point is, who cares? They lie to you all the time. But this costs him games because of what he lied about.
Right, yeah.
What he lied about is a lot worse. Is being portrayed as a lot worse than just simply lying. I mean, if he came out there and said, you know, somebody asking him about a play, and he spits out a lie.
Well, that's
nobody gets mad at him.
But because of it's costing them games, and it could cost the Packers. I mean, who knows how it's going to shake out towards the end of the season?
So let me ask you this:
what I mean, that could cost them playoff positioning.
Why didn't we have this conversation last week? I mean, if we're going to, the only reason we're having it is because Aaron Rodgers isn't vaccinated. That's the only reason this conversation is happening. Nobody had the conversation of, I can't believe Davante Adams went out to the sponsor party and got the virus last week. I can't believe he's costing his team games because he got infected. Nobody said a word because he's vaccinated. Now, let me ask you this. Who's to say the vaccinated guy on the Packers didn't give it to the unvaccinated guy? Are we going to have that conversation? Of course not, because it's okay. You know what I'm saying? The only reason we're talking about this is because Aaron Rodgers didn't get the vaccine, and he said he used the word immunized, and nobody looked it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everybody just took that as, oh, yep, he got the vaccine. Let's move on. And by the way, it's still just a travesty that these people are able to ask them those personal medical questions, and it's just accepted.
Yeah.
What? That shouldn't happen. It should never happen.
Right.
There's laws in this country against it, but nobody cares because of what the topic is, other than a few people. Anyway, so that's going to be wild to see if he gets to play next week. The 10 days start, depending on when he actually tested positive. It's going to be close. So he may end up missing two games. And now, you know, people are wanting to take his money away from him, make him miss a game check because he got the virus unvaccinated. Where are the calls for the same thing for everybody else? They're not there. And we all know why. As the Browns turn, my gosh, this OBJ, let me ask you before we kind of say what happened. Do you think he's ever going to play another down for the Browns?
No.
I don't either.
No, I saw I can't break it down verbatim, but I saw if he were to be cut, which it looks like the wheels have been turning on that one, like that's coming, that the longer he goes without being signed, the less and less he'll get paid. It's like by the day. And so he could be flapping in the wind just hoping somebody picks him up and picks up his salary. And there's going to be teams that are going to go, well, let's wait as long as we can so we get him at a cheaper price for a playoff run or something, but we don't need that infection in our locker room because, I mean, my God, he's going to get upset at my quarterback or our quarterback, and he's going to cause drama in our locker room. I mean, his dad didn't do him any favors with that 11-minute video and how he acts. I mean, we should have seen this coming, right? The attitude that was in New York, I mean, did he suddenly think he was going to leave it in New York and then fresh slate in Cleveland? Should have seen this coming, and we should have seen it. We should have known. I mean, Cleveland should have seen it last year as the season was over when they saw the production without him on the field versus him on the field. Baker was better and the Browns were better when he was hurt, when he was not playing, when OBJ was not playing. And now he's back, and they're 4-4.
I think that's a huge reason. You know good and well they were trying to trade him. If they're going to take the steps to cut him, which it looks like they're going to, you know they were trying to trade him.
And nobody was biting.
Nobody wanted it. There was a report that came out either Monday night or early Tuesday morning before the trade deadline hit, a rival AFC exec that said, nobody wants him. There's not a market to trade Odell Beckham. Because nobody wants him on their team. Everybody could see what happened last year. And oh, by the way, he's almost 30. He's not the 22-year-old guy anymore. He's not one of the best three receivers in the league. Hasn't been for years. No. And he's coming off major injuries, to different parts of his body here over the last couple of years. It's simple. The Browns, they have the evidence they needed. You know, you see what happened last year without him. And you allow yourself to get kind of tricked into, gosh, but think about if he'll play nice and the connection will happen and it'll work. Then, my gosh, what an offense we have. Problem is it doesn't happen that way. And we all saw it, and I 100% agree. Odell Beckham will never play another down for the Browns. It remains to be seen if now the Browns just magically do what they did last year or if there's deeper problems. But – The evidence was clear last year.
They still have injuries to overcome, you know, other stuff like that. But as far as the morale in the locker room and the awkwardness and the tension, it's easier to get rid of the person who's causing all that. And again, I mean, you've seen it a lot. You've seen it where a player doesn't fit in one atmosphere and one team, and they go to another, and all of a sudden they're thriving. And, I mean – Antonio Brown, I mean, he's not having a career season, but he's playing. He's getting paid.
Oh, you're Randy Moss, man.
You don't hear anything about him. Randy Moss,
when
exactly.
He was just kind of flapping in the wind after he left Minnesota, with the Raiders or whatever. And then all of a sudden, he goes to Tom Brady and the Patriots, and boom, it's Randy Moss again.
Yeah. But the pause is, yes, okay, you know, if he winds up with the Bills – some people will applaud that. All right, he's going to help that team, da-da-da. And then there's going to be some people, some Bills Mafia fans going, we got a good thing going here. Do we really want to bring this guy in and mess with that?
Yeah, that's the interesting play. The interesting play is who would pick him up.
There's only one place I think he'd be okay in.
New England.
No.
Why not?
Tampa Bay. Anybody that goes to Tom Brady, you mentioned Randy Moss. I mentioned Antonio Brown. It seems like that's the cure. He's the guy that everybody listens to. Go, well, he's the GOAT.
Maybe it's Brady more than Belichick. I mean, I'm thinking of the New England for their history of doing it.
Yeah.
It hadn't just been Moss.
And you know good and well that if he goes to New England under the watchful eye of Belichick, and if it doesn't work out, what's Belichick going to do?
Cut him.
See ya.
Yeah, I think there's no way the Chiefs would do that. I mean, they've got enough issues, right? But it feels like the place that would get him, it's either going to be a Hail Mary, which makes sense, I guess, Chiefs-wise, to get everything back on track, hopefully, or somewhere that has a culture to tamp him down, which the two places we're mentioning, wherever Brady's at or wherever Belichick's at, are kind of those two spots. The one place if I hear Dallas Cowboys, I'm going to throw up. I'm going to tell you that right now. There's surely no way.
They don't need him, obviously.
They don't all
need
that.
Him. They got Coop. They got CD. You think, I mean, he tried the gel in a place that had a lot of playmakers, and he was upset because he wasn't, quote-unquote, getting the ball enough.
Yeah.
The same thing would happen in Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to
don't even bring it up.
No.
It's not happening. All right, college football playoff talk.
Speaking of Dallas, really cool helmets, by the way, coming up on Sunday.
Yes, we just saw those, kind of the red, white, and blue.
Yeah, first time since 76 that they've worn them.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
really cool.
An homage to Veterans Day.
Yeah, yeah. It's really cool. Really cool look.
College football playoffs, once you kind of have a chance to digest everything and what happened, who actually controls their own destiny? So how many teams do you think right now, after seeing where they're ranked in the first rankings, how many teams do you think actually control their own destiny and need zero help?
Six teams. And there's a formula to this of where they're ranked, how many wins they have, losses they have, they're what their record is, and who they are.
Okay.
Conferences too, but I say six.
I wrote a seventh down, but I think it's six as well. My top six are – okay, so, okay, who are they? Who do you have?
In any order?
Yes, in any order, and then we'll kind of rank them most control versus least.
I kind of put it as where it was ranked. So, Oregon, they went out, I think they're in, based on where they've started in this ranking. Same thing with Ohio State. Bama. If this is – but basically what I'm saying is all these teams have got to win out. To get
well, yeah, that would mean you can.
Four.
Yeah, that would mean that, you control.
That's controlling your own destiny.
That's right.
Bama can't. Listen, I know there's that talk. Oh, Bama can have two losses. I think if scenarios happen, or Oregon and Ohio State,
that's
win
not
out,
controlling their own destiny
but
with
if
two
lose,
losses.
Yeah, yeah.
But they can win out, and we
if
all know
they
they're going to make it.
They're going to be in.
That's right.
OU obviously on that list too. Michigan is still a player in this.
Ooh.
If they win out,
ooh.
If they win out, and then no one talked about this team. But it's still a major player in college football is Notre Dame.
So where are you, Georgia and Michigan State?
Oh, well, yeah, okay. Oh, no, okay, Michigan State, I think, has a problem.
If they went out, they got no problem. That's you know what I'm – I mean, you're – what I guess what I'm saying is
– well, I mean, if we're going to say control their own destiny, what happens if Wake Forest wins out?
I've got Wake Forest on the list.
Okay, then we need to expand this list by –
but
shoot the top.
Okay. So, I guess what I'm saying is, if these teams went out, and Wake is the one that I wasn't 100% sure about if I would add them in, because I'm not 100% sold if they're undefeated, they're getting in.
I didn't put them on that list.
Yeah, right. We think they should, but will they? That's another reason why Cincinnati.
Maybe I didn't put Georgia on that list because I think they could suffer a loss and still get in.
But they still control everything. Yeah. I mean, that's they Georgia 100%.
But that's not controlling their destiny. They're on the mercy of the
committee. If they went out, they're 100% in.
Well, yeah.
That's controlling. You control. Nothing outside of you affects you. Georgia wins out, they're in. Period. End of story. There's nothing that can happen for that not to be the case.
So this being said, the top eight control their own destiny.
I don't think that's right. I don't think Oregon does.
You think they can win out and not get in?
100%. Because there's other teams that control more. Does that make sense? So
like
Georgia wins out, they'll get in over over Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State wins out, they're getting in over Oregon because they're undefeated Big Ten champ, right? Oklahoma wins out, they're getting in over Oregon because then they're going to be an undefeated Big 12 champ.
Right.
Alabama wins out, they're getting in over Oregon because they'll be a one-loss SEC champ, and then that puts Georgia, they have so much control, they'll still get in over Oregon. You see what I'm saying?
So Oregon does not control their own
I don't think they do.
I see.
Or and this is going to make people mad, especially in Oregon, but you know who else I think does? Ohio State. You mentioned them too. Ohio State wins out, they're getting in over Oregon even though they lost to Oregon because their resume is going to be so much better than Oregon's. The problem for Oregon, in my mind, is they're getting propped up with that win over Ohio State. But what they don't realize is they're kind of like Charlie Brown and Lucy. The committee's propping them up, and then they're going to pull the ball away from them. Because the whole point, to me, of Oregon being as high as they are is to justify Ohio State jumping people here in a little bit after they beat Michigan State. And then I had Wake 6th, Cincy 7th. I think they, I don't know. I don't put words in your mouth, but it feels like you're putting more stock into where everybody is ranked this week than I am. because I just don't I don't think any of it matters. They're just trying to make a TV program that people will watch. And so there's more shock value into putting certain teams in certain places. That way you'll start watching every week. Oh, my God, where is OU? Did they fall because they were on a bye? How much did they jump for beating Baylor? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think they're trying the committee has a little bit of wow factor to it.
These rankings are just like preseason rankings.
I think so.
I mean, who gives a poop?
I think so.
Obviously, these aren't going to be the same when – yeah.
Yeah, I don't think
really kind of a shame to me because it's November 4th and we're talking about rankings that shouldn't even matter. I mean, shouldn't they matter? This goes back to 9-0 matters, but you put them in 8. I mean, shouldn't all that matter?
I think
now we got a good sample size of what these teams are, but we're going to put people in these certain rankings just to get eyeballs on TVs.
Well, and I think they have done it that way. Because right
the
now
ladder?
I think they've ranked them on what they've seen. But now so Oklahoma being 8th, what have they done to deserve to be higher outside of winning every game?
Well,
they've won every game.
They won every game.
But is their resume better than Alabama's right now, even with a loss on Alabama's schedule? I mean, I think you can make the argument that Alabama's beaten 4 better teams than OU's beaten.
Still a loss, though.
There's still a loss. But that's where, when the whole picture gets put together at the end, that's why we see these massive moves, is because the committee's anticipating Ohio State can still beat Michigan and Michigan State. So let's put them behind Oregon for now. But then once they have all these wins against top 10 teams, then that loss diminishes some because they beat better people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Oklahoma's definitely in that boat. Where, okay, they haven't looked good. They haven't even beaten anybody that's any good. But they're about to go to number 12 and play Baylor. They're about to go to number 11, Oklahoma State, at the end of the year. Those are the opportunities that they're going to have to move up. And that's why all this it doesn't matter till the end, but it's great at getting us to talk about it. Mission accomplished. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's totally mission accomplished. But, you know, I heard Jim say yesterday, OU's done with a loss. I don't think that's true because of what I just said. I don't think that order is nearly as set in stone as what people perceive it to be. Because, you know, right now you're thinking, okay, top 4 is these. Oregon wins out, they're in. I don't think that's true. Depending on what happens around them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think everyone else – I mean, Oregon's done winning good games. Because the Pac maybe win at Utah, but you know, but they're pretty well done. Whereas everybody else's schedule is more backloaded to have those opportunities to play good teams. And eventually, instead of talking this week about, well, yeah, Oregon's ahead of Ohio State, they beat them. You know what you're going to hear as it gets closer to time to jump Ohio State ahead of Oregon? You know a name you're going to start hearing a lot more often from the talking heads? Stanford. You know who you didn't hear this week? Stanford.
Yeah.
But you're going to start hearing the name Stanford a lot more often. Why is that? Because that's who beat Oregon, and they're 3-5 right now.
Exactly.
It's all a show, my friend.
By the way, Oregon, a touchdown favorite at Washington.
All right. Let's look at some big games this week right quick. Oklahoma State, kind of a sneaky one up at West Virginia. That was only like a 3-point spread.
I pegged this one way back in the preseason.
Sneaky one.
This is going to be a hard one for OSU.
Sneaky one there.
3.5-point favorite. Look what they did to Iowa State. It's never easy going to Morgantown.
That's right.
Fortunately for OSU, this is a 2:30 game.
Yeah,
if it was at night, I'd be really, really worried. But I think they take care of business. But it's going to be – you better be on point.
There's going to be a couple of games that are going to be a lot of fun to watch, especially if you don't have a dog in the fight. One of those is going to be Wake Forest at UNC. First one to 70 might win that one.
Yeah.
And also a similar game, I think, will be down in Oxford, Mississippi, the Hugh Freeze Bowl.
Yeah.
Liberty coming to Ole Miss. That should be an absolute shootout as well. That'll be a lot of fun. Those two games are going to be tons of fun to watch. Liberty at Ole Miss and Wake at UNC. Watch out, Wake Forest, all that we just talked about. Could be down the drain.
Auburn, A&M, I think could be really, really
Auburn
fun.
Auburn at A&M.
Back in the Big 12, Baylor could be looking ahead to OU. and they're taking on TCU that's just desperate. So
nobody wants to necessarily root for, but if you're an OU fan, you have to be rooting for Oklahoma State and Baylor. You have to be rooting for those two teams.
Of course.
And that way those wins, when you have them, look more impressive. And also, Oklahoma State, Baylor, outside looking in, it seems right now as far as the top four, but how much would two wins over Oklahoma boost somebody's resume, one of those two teams? Big time, for sure. How much, we'll find out. May need a little bit of help in front of them, but it's certainly not outside the realm of possibility for either one of those two teams to run the table and find themselves in the college football playoff. You're all over Purdue.
No, that's my upset watch of the week. I'm not calling for an upset, but if there's going to be a major upset this weekend, that would be it. Michigan State at Purdue. Michigan State probably still really proud of themselves beating their in-state rival, and now they're number three in the initial college football playoff rankings, and we know what Purdue can do. We've seen it once already against Iowa, so I think that one right there could be a problem for the Spartans.
Good news, Michigan State isn't in the top two of the AP poll.
Yeah.
Because
it's
already happened this year with Purdue beating Iowa. Purdue now has 9 wins as an unranked team over an AP top two.
Yeah, they're not scared.
You know who's in, you know what second place is on that list?
Well, it'd be like 3 or
4.
Something. 4.
They've got more than double what anybody else has done in that scenario where you're unranked playing an AP top 2. They've already got Iowa. So good news, Michigan State, you're number 5 in the AP. I don't know if that's going to help you though. That's kind of a glimpse into what might happen there. And of course, you mentioned Oregon and Washington. Washington's one of the most disappointing teams in the country. But they have some talent, so watch out. They're in Seattle.
Spooky.
If you're the Ducks. Wouldn't that be poetic justice if Oregon gets knocked out of the playoff hunt in favor of Oklahoma because Spooky does something? High school football playoff scenarios, we'll dive into this a little bit more tomorrow. But in Class 4A1, you've got the title game over in Clinton. Clinton versus Bethany. Winners first, losers second. So that means a district championship is on the line between the Red Tornadoes and the Broncos. Then right here at Big Elk Stadium, third and fourth place game, Elk City versus Newcastle. Winners third, losers fourth. District A1, it's pretty cut and dried there too. Fairview and Hooker playing a district title game. One of them's going to win it, one of them's going to be second. Moreland's locked into third. And then right out here, just a hair west of our studio, Burns Flat coming over to play Merritt. Winners fourth. So loser misses the playoff, winners in the playoffs. Interestingly enough, we get a pretty decent view of what the matchups are going to be, at least in Class A. Okay. Class A District 2 is essentially settled, except for 4th. You've got Mangum, Minko, Apache in that order. They're set.
1-2-3.
Yep. 1-2-3 is set. 4th place is up for grabs this week. If Cordell wins, they're 4th. If Cordell loses and Hobart wins, they're 4th. If they both win, Cordell wins. If they both lose, then some district points get wrapped up into that. Cordell is playing Mangum. Hobart is playing Minko.
Yeah, that's the problem.
They're both playing the top two in the district. Yeah. So, you know, if there's a way for, you know, if Hobart does lose, but they only lose by like 2 and Cordell gives up the full 15, Hobart would jump them. But either one win, you would think they'd probably get it because you doubt both teams are going to win. Then in 4A2, Tuttle, Cushing, Blanchard, Hera are the teams. They all play each other.
Yeah.
Tuttle plays Blanchard. Cushing plays Hera. If the higher-ranked teams win, which would be Tuttle and Cushing, then it would finish Tuttle, Cushing, Blanchard, Hera. That would mean Hera would come to the winner of the Clinton-Bethany game. Blanchard would go to the loser. And then the Elk City Newcastle winner would go to Cushing. The Elk City Newcastle loser would go to Tuttle. So that's kind of what we're looking forward to. Give you an idea, because, you know, I know we'll be doing it up in the booth on Friday night, looking at all the other scores, all the other scenarios. Hey, what does this result mean for the other results that are going to be going on around the state?
Yeah.
And give you an idea of
a lot of people want to know
of what's, yeah, where are we going?
Where are we going? A lot of people are going to want to know that.
Depending on how the things shake out. So that's just kind of a little bit of a peek into that coming up tomorrow night on the high school football gridiron. It's going to be fun.
Yes, it is.
You know, it'll be fun for us to watch as far as, you know, the result of the Elk City game versus what's going on in 4A2. But there's no real disappointment depending on the result. You know, still going to the playoffs, doesn't matter. Old Jess not going to have the same luxury out there at Merritt.
Yeah.
Because somebody is going to be euphoric and somebody is going to have to check their stuff in.
Right.
That's a lot different pressure that's in that game.
Games are a lot more fun than no offense to us, but you know what we're doing, you know, there's obviously the district championship games.
Yes.
Where they just luckily they shake out to week 10, winner take all, other one second place. But then there's this, it's winner continues their season, loser goes to the gym.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants to win the district, right?
Sure.
But if you don't, you still get to play at home next week. In most of these scenarios, you're still playing at home. You're still in the playoffs. All your goals are still out there in front of you. But that's totally different than what's going to happen at Merritt tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Because you know there's a whole bunch of kids out there that aren't ready to go to the gym.
No. That's not the plan.
No. One side's going to have to.
Should be fun.
Depending on the results. It's going to be fun. We'll talk a whole bunch more about tomorrow. Can you believe it's already week 10?
No.
Small school, high school hoops get going in earnest tomorrow. I mean, I know we had a couple of games yesterday or Tuesday, but it's full slate tomorrow. It's that time of year.
Yep.
Everybody have a wonderful Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cow. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered.